welcome to Prosody, WYEP's weekly show featuring the work of poets and writers. I'm Jan Beatty, and my guest tonight is the poet Elizabeth Kirshner. Elizabeth Kirshner has published 4 books of poetry, 20 Colors, Postal Roots, Slow Risen Among the Smoke Trees, and her new collection by Autumn House Press, My Life as a Doll. Kirshner, who has taught at Boston College and studied with the Boston Ballet, has collaborated with many composers. A cycle of her poems set to Robert Schumann's Dichter Liebe premiered in Vienna in 2005 and was released on a CD by Albany Records. She writes full-time now and lives in Kittery Point, Maine. And I want to congratulate you, Elizabeth, on the publication of your new book with Autumn House.
Thank you very much. It's been a long dream of mine to be published by Autumn House, so I've been courting the press for quite a while.
Oh, great. And while we're at it, I want to thank Michael Sims, who founded Autumn House Press, housed in Pittsburgh, but now it's a national press, and for all his good work. So you're going to start with something from My Life as a Doll?
Yes, I am. This particular book is an autobiographical work in verse. It chronicles a tale of a survivor's tale of abuse, trauma, mental illness, and recovery. The first section of the book, it really is one long poem broken into 4 sections. The first section is called Cuckoo, and it pertains to childhood. I'm going to begin with a poem that actually triggered the whole book. I think there are two states you're in if you've been traumatized. The first one is the coma of unconsciousness, which is then followed by concussions of consciousness, wherein the memories return. And this is the trigger memory for me. After my mother hit the back of my head with the bat's sweet spot, light cried its way out of my body. I could not yet tie my own shoes. I could not yet pour my own milk. But deeply down and down I went, like a ball bouncing down the cellar stairs. There I played with my dolls. They kept their conversations to themselves, talking behind my back. I was one of them, a dog carved out of a dog's bones, molded from stone or torn up, twisted rags. As in all the dolls, my heart was a single drop of blood, pulsing like a tiny red spider trapped in its own lair. The web of my making is the web of my undoing. My soul was scant, a grain of salt burning like an ember under the tongue. My life as a doll was a life of waiting. Hours reeled like pinwheels. Days passed like wind blown through black holes. Weeks hung heavy as headstones. Then God took a knife, cut me into pure pain, alive amid birds wilding in the grapevine, while my dreams angled into me like hooks, dragging me away from mother into a world he forgot to bless. I went to parochial schools, and that is another thing that I am a survivor of, is a parochial school education. And in elementary school, we used to have an event every year called the Fun Fair. And I love the fun fair, and they had cakewalks, and I would do the cakewalks. And they had all these pretty and ornate cakes, and I never won a cake, but I did win the turtle race one year and brought a turtle home. And this is the poem about my turtle. One year I won a turtle in the turtle race at the school's fun fair. I took it home in a little cardboard box that looked like it was meant to carry Chinese food. I set up the turtle tank. It had a little island in it, a blue umbrella. That night, mother, boozed up, hit the hallway walls like a sack of potatoes. I held my turtle to my breast as though it were a green rose. My eyes sank into their sockets. marrow evaporated from my bones? Who could save me while the purple poodles on my wallpaper became rabid? If I thought hard enough, would the restless angels descend to mother the missing person I was? I longed to have my picture on the back of milk cartons at school while my real mother sleepwalked in my crucified shadow. And lastly, from this first section, I'd like to read a poem a little bit earlier in my elementary school education during the year of First Holy Communion and First Confession. And this was in a time when we had to kneel on the floor and our uniforms had to touch the floor when we knelt. And the whole notion of confession with its intense branding of grief, of guilt upon a young person's soul. Somehow I've turned that all around. Instead of thinking of original sin, I think more in terms of original wounds and how they're perpetrated against us. In my second grade classroom, I listened to particles of light burst open. Each made a little ping sound and blinked on and off in swirls of breathless dust. I knew the light was alive. Ping, ping, ping. I wanted everyone to hear the light sing. Instead, the priest came in. His face looked cloudy and botched, but his words scourged me. Because of your sins, you will burn in the pits of hell. This is when my demons first came to me, hooking me with claws, carrying me home. I went into the windowless bathroom without turning on the light. I sat down on the toilet, knowing my sins were needles, were daggers, murderous with their might. Slowly, carefully, I wound the toilet paper, placed a piece on my head like a chapel veil. I used the rest to wipe away my sins, excrement baked onto my flesh like clay. I did not hear the light sing again until the day my mother died. Then it turned electric, turned operatic, ping, 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 when its tiny bells, ping, ping, ping.
If you just tuned in, you're listening to Prosody. I'm Jan Beatty, and my guest tonight is the poet Elizabeth Kirshner. She's reading from her new collection, My Life as a Doll, published by Autumn House Press in 2008. You know, those images are so powerful. They really are. I mean, I can feel them. You know, I'm about 5 feet from you. People don't know this in the studio, but I can really feel just they're so tangible. I wanted to ask you about how you addressed the issue of autobiography when you were writing these poems. I mean, you know, you came right out and said this is autobiography in verse. And often, as you know, poetry is not all autobiography or not at all sometimes. How did you handle that? Like when you were constructing the poem and trying to come up with an image or, you know, a detail, and maybe another image or detail might be better for the poem that wasn't maybe strictly autobiographical. How did you handle that?
I really tried to stick particularly to the moments of memory. As closely as possible. I felt that it was very important for me to tell my story as truly as I remember it and to not walk away from that too far. It's the sort of tale that I didn't want to risk credibility anywhere at any point. And the events described are graphic, and I needed to make sure the images cohered to the impact of the experiences that I had.
Mm-hmm. Were you ever worried at any point along the process that the poetry would be compromised because of that loyalty to autobiography?
No, I did not, not with this particular book. Mm-hmm. The other strong element in the writing of this book was the music behind it. Mm-hmm. I have a very musical ear, mm-hmm. and the rhythm of the poems, the cadence, the musical sounds also were what drove me deeper and deeper inside the book. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that really comes across, and I think that adds to the chilling nature, you know, of some of the poems. You know, you have these details that are disturbing, but then you have this music, which is often not, mm-hmm. and it's an interesting juxtaposition.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, could you read some more poems?
Yes, I'd like to read some from the second section of the book, which is titled An Itty Bitty Ditty. And these poems pertain to adolescence, pertain to be, especially for me, I was an all-American girl with a very un-all-American girl past. So here is the balancing between the two. This first poem was Prom Night, which is, of course, a very big deal in every young girl's life. And moments before my date came to the door, my mother told me she had spoken to my gymnastics coach, and he said I was overweight. So I was just, you know, humiliated beyond words. And, you know, this is how it went. "Pretty," said Mom on the night of the prom. But she meant my shadow of bone, shadow of shroud, a net with hooks. What did I catch? Boy after boy who were out to enjoy sweets for the sweet. But I was dog meat, and my body knew the pain of hammers and saws. I was a wishbone utterly broken by boys who poked and prodded until my mind boggled with mishmashed dreams snagged in my bugaboo soul. I was a voodoo doll my mother stuck pins in. "Pretty," she said, as though I were a ditty, an itty-bitty ditty not even God would pity. Ditty gone silent, ditty gone numb as a thumb. Ho-hum, ho-hum. And following that section is one that closely ties into the particular experiences of those years. I was a cheerleader, and in every sense of the word, you know. And this next shorter poem has to do with being right out there on the football field in a very kind of Midwestern, I always think of James Wright's poem about the young boys pounding suicidally into each other. And this is how this one goes. "Push them back, push them back," I cheered while boys longed to snarf me up. I was an inflatable doll that bounced back up when the chill wind slapped my cheeks. I cheered on and on beneath a stillborn sky darkened by autumn's death pangs. Oh, how I jumped. Oh, how I smiled. I was an A-plus girl with an A-plus aching heart who yelled, "Hold that line, hold that line," as though it were the ending in an A-plus perfect poem. Another thing that was a big part of my high school years was I sang and I played the piano, and my first aspiration was to be a singer, not a poet, but I was too shy. And the one thing, perhaps one of the warmest memories I have surrounding my mother, has to do for me playing the piano and singing to her in the late afternoons while she tried to nap. I played piano and sang for my mother in the rusting light of late summer days while green birds preened their feathers and clicked ebony beaks. My voice held drops of honey, and the ivory keys were the color of her tobacco-stained teeth. I lived in orphaned light, orphaned by an orphaned son. My mother snoozed on the gold couch while I sang about poor wayfaring strangers, a motherless child. When I was done singing, my head kept ringing in the doleful day. I rubbed her back. I was a bluesy girl, a truly wanting her mother very much girl. But she sank into sleep, dead sleep, rolling upon melancholy eventide, while I watched over her, gently, ever so gently.
If you just tuned in, you listen to Prosody, and I'm Jan Beatty, and my guest tonight is the poet Elizabeth Kirshner. She's reading from her new book, My Life as a Doll, published by Autumn House Press. And I want to make sure, again, that we remember to thank Michael Sims for his work with Autumn House and his work with writers. Well, there's so much to talk about here. The poems are so powerful that, you know, I catch myself listening and experiencing them and not thinking about the questions I'm going to ask you, which is good, I think. I noticed that God shows up a bunch of times here, you know, mm-hmm. As indicted, you know. Earlier, in the poem, one of your poems, there was what God chose not to bless, and then you know, God showed up again, and not as a not in a very good light.
No, yeah. No, more of an Old Testament God, someone who was, of course, huge in my childhood because I had a Catholic childhood, but was very remote and brutal. And later on, he felt wounded to me, mm-hmm. or maybe it was the woundedness of Christ that affected me. But there was also a sense of abandonment mm-hmm. By this God.
I bet, yeah. When you were writing these poems, you know, you have broken a lot of rules that, you know, the rules that they teach you in poetry writing class in MFA programs, and which, you know, should be broken really. But you know, there's a lot of pressure, you know, not to write about abuse, not to write about what personal subjects, whatever that is, and you know, and not to claim things as autobiographical. So mm-hmm. There's that sort of roadblock. And then there's the roadblock of, you know, diving in and recovering these memories. I mean, mm-hmm. I guess, you know, for our listeners and for me, like, how did you manage to dive into this material and get these things written, get these poems written so beautifully?
Well, I'm working on a memoir now, trying to understand some of the ramifications of abuse and mental illness and madness. And it's called Walking with Winter, and it's still very much in progress. But one of the things that I thought about is what I call the minefield of memory. And with the help of my doctor, a wonderful doctor named Susan Pollack, she has helped me cross that minefield. And you'd never know when you're going to land on one. And you never know when it's going to blast you mm-hmm. Practically off the sides of the earth. Mm-hmm. I do know that you only get them when you really can manage them and that you cannot heal until you have crossed that minefield. There also is an awful lot of taboo around abuse, not just in the poetry culture, but in the American culture. And one of the reasons I was able to cross those barriers is because I know my story is just one of many, many, many stories. And if I can give voice to my particular story and hope that it may resonate in others and even potentially serve as a tool of healing or a tool of telling their own stories, then that will be a very enriching experience for me.
Yeah. Well, thank you for writing them, these poems. I mean, it's really incredibly brave work. Okay, why don't we have a couple more poems?
Yeah. Okay, why don't I read one from the third section and one from the closing section?
I think we have time for more, so just go ahead and keep reading.
The third section is called Tra-La-La, and it has to do with my being I'm drawing a blank. Being admitted to the psych ward for the first time at almost age 50. And this happened to my profound heartbreak on my son's 11th birthday. It was my first psychotic break that I had since I was a child. I did have psychosis as a child, but I didn't know it. Being a dust baby blown this way and that, like a swarm of gnats, I shattered into stinging particles. It was my son's 11th birthday, and I would not, could not come back. Then, suddenly, I became a woman wrestling with God in an abyss closed with a sewer lid. Limb upon limb, we pinned each other in sewage. My husband took me to the hospital. When I stepped out of the car, I sang tra-la-la as if I were Cinderella going to an enchanted ball. Was my son blowing out the candles on his birthday cake? Should I sing the birthday song, even though I wasn't there? And where exactly was I? I stuffed my mouth with toilet paper so I wouldn't start to scream, so my dust baby wouldn't be blown to smithereen, so I could finally pin down God till he cried monkey. Another poem from this time period. It was almost Christmas. I hoarded quarters to make calls out. When I spoke to my son, my words were full of hollow sounds that came from the hollow wisdom of a dead mother. Carve out what's inside until a certain weightlessness tells you it's time to die. Wearing my flannel nightgown, I stood by the windows in my room. I wanted to leap out that window just to feel the beauty of falling in breathtaking air. Instead, I looked into another hospital window in another ward. Night after night, an old woman massaged the back of an even older man under the stern glow of the ceiling light. I wished them the respite deep within the silent hearts of snowflakes falling in like hordes of tiny butterflies. But more than that, I wanted to be back in the maternity ward where I had given birth to my son 11 winters before. It was a snowy December twilight when he began to crown. I pushed and pushed as if squeezing my portion of heaven out of my body. My husband held my hand. In between contractions, I snoozed, and he thought I was dying. Perhaps I was. Perhaps the fruitful one would replace the fig of the woman I was. The lights were dimmed. My husband's shadow was a benevolent God. In one big gush, my son came out. He was brought to my breast. He latched on and became fully alive to a mother who now stood before suicide-proof windows, watching the river move like a black snake, flickering thousands of venomous tongues that poisoned a charred, scarred sky.
If you just tuned in, you're listening to Prosody. I'm Jan Beatty, and my guest tonight is the poet Elizabeth Kirshner, reading from her new book, My Life as a Doll, published by Autumn House Press. Elizabeth, when you're reading these poems, you know, here or, you know, out in the world, how does that work for you as a poet and as a human being to read this work? Is it ever difficult to read? Is it an affirming thing that because you know it's helping other people? Can you talk about that experience?
The best way I can describe it is it feels like a heart and gut connection between myself and the readers. There doesn't seem to be a lot of distraction around it. It's just going right in there, delivering the poems. I need to be very, very grounded. I need to be in a very deeply seated place in order to go back inside this work and present it as it should be.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, we have time for just a couple more.
How about if I just do the closing sequence of the book?
That'd be great.
While my words become blooming elegy, God pries me open like a clamshell full of snot and pearls, snot and pearls. My heart is a sweet tooth addicted to darkness, the frightening dark full of scabs and scales. Who will bring me back when I disappear in the hidey hole of my brain with a voice that says, touch me not, love me not? This is when my name breaks down into bitter dust, tumbling like a tumbleweed in catacombs of the dead. There my mother greets me with a teeny-weeny kiss that blisters my lips. Go in to go under, go in to plunder, was the motto of her blankety-blank life. O tour de force of living tears, what holds me together? Cord of water, slipknot of air, downward motion has no magic potion, and there's sparkly stuff in my head, letting out thousands of tiny shocks. In the cave of my childhood, I made a little music, mouse music, mouse music, and once the sound of a cricket buried in flames. The Kyrie of its cry never retires, nor do I. I was a gray-haired child, had a wizened face, bones full of hot wires. Damage is done when love is undone, and I'm a bouquet of burnt matches, an ashen petal fallen from a Looney Tunes moon. Stomp, smudge, chuck me into cinders, and I will rise like a genie out of a bottle of destitute dreams. My scent is offal, seared grass, and dirt drenched with the blood of the war dead. Why must there be warring between heaven and earth, dead mother and me? The kiss of peace has been smeared into blear, and white doves have bloodied their feathers in hell's red bile of dew. I can be scraped from the bottom of God's shoe. My scars are pregnant with pain, and I am a bloody stew. Dressed in mole's clothes, I dig past my open grave with raggedy paws, till I'm blinded with blinded light that scorches the blackened wick of my blackened soul, my masterpiece. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. It was wonderful. It's the poetry of Elizabeth Kirshner, reading from her book, My Life as a Doll. You've been listening to Prosody, WYEP's weekly show featuring the work of poets and writers. Writers appearing on Prosody also have their work showcased in Chapter and Verse, a biweekly feature in Pittsburgh City Paper, the Arts Entertainment News Weekly, published every Wednesday. Prosody is produced by Jan Beatty and Ellen Wadey. Our sound engineers are Michelle Stoner and Ben Cole. Please tune in every Tuesday night at 7 for Prosody, Independent Public Radio, 91.3 WYEP.